Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Hey everybody, this is John
and Kevin,
and this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
A fight to survive!
Here we are. We've traveled. I think we're about at the halfway point in the Bloodsport timeline.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, we're traveling through some Bloodsport. It's time to get into this.
Shit's about to get real, I guess, if it wasn't already real.
Yeah, I think it's about to. Yeah, things are about to pick up. Business is about to pick up, JR. So when we last met, Dukes had shown up late to day two of Kumite, which was no surprise
to
anyone.
He was busy getting his dick wet.
Lynn was furious that Frank was AWOL. Frank is always AWOL. Another recap. Jackson did his own dim mock, broke a brick against his head. And then in walks Janice with Bookie number one, looking good.
She's just here to watch some Kumite.
She's in here to get the scoop, as it were.
True.
And so right out of the gate, we get Frank looking very amused at Janice right before fighting montage, Kumite montage number two.
Kevin. Yeah, this is like day two of the Kumite, which I guess is a 3-day affair.
It's a 3-day affair, day two of Kumite, and we see Janice sort of taking it all in, mentally logging everything that she's seeing, and she's not really into it.
I feel like that first fight that she sees is like just a pure fight, like two martial artists, couple of like well-trained kung fu type guys like going at it, and it's pretty great, and she's like seems fascinated.
Exactly. We should take a station break and say that during this episode of 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, we are in Houston, Texas right now, we're enjoying some St. Arnold summer pills because it's hot as shit outside.
Yeah, so deliciousness.
Cheers to all of you guys.
Golden goodness.
If you're in Houston, go to St. Arnold. You will not regret it for long. You'll never regret it. You'll be happy you went. And then one of the first fights she sees after that initial bout is Frank looking impressive, and Chong Li, of course, taking note.
Yeah, it's like, Dukes is like, he's what you want to see, I guess, a pretty boy kicking ass, like doing it very cleanly and like just very smooth, fluid kicks and whatever.
Everything
and she's just
amazing.
Like, oh, he's a beautiful man doing beautiful karate or whatever. Right.
And then of course the ugly side of Kumite rears its head when Chong Li steps in the ring and squares off against Paradis, our Brazilian jiu-jitsu or whatever the hell he is fighter.
I'm surprised he didn't go deeper just cause he was like tight with Van Damme.
Yeah, I agree. You mean that actor specifically?
Actor, yeah, Michelle or whatever.
Well, as soon as he gets in the ring with Chong Li, you know, he's out. It's like,
oh, of course.
Your time in the movie is over.
Yeah.
It was nice to know you, but we hardly knew you.
He got a very memorable exit though.
He did. So we see him kind of lunge at one point or pretty early on in the fight. He comes up gimpy, which is a shame because his whole fighting technique is about those legs.
Yep.
So he's limping around the ring and then Chong Li kind of rings his bell, a few more exchanges, and then he falls.
Mm-hmm.
He does that thing. He looks great on camera doing this thing where he gets up and he's kind of staggering around looking dazed. And then Chong Li smokes the ever-loving shit out of that leg.
Oh, man. I mean, if I'm fighting Chong Li, who I know is a killer, and I'm like gimpy, I just probably jump off the platform and be like, yeah, I'm done, or mate it out, whatever.
Yeah. I don't, at that point, especially when you are relying, if your whole fighting technique relies on your legs, but I mean, Chong Li like hits this dude right in the leg. We see a pretty killer prosthetic job with the bones sticking out of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty graphic. Janice is not into it. because it's fucking terrible. She looks away, and who wouldn't?
Then she's like blatantly just like, for undercover reporter chick, she's blatantly got her big tape recorder out. She's just speaking into it.
We're talking the things the size of, you know, it's bigger in length than an iPhone Plus.
Bigger than a cell phone, yeah.
Yeah, than an iPhone Plus would be. And we're talking like it's like a brick size piece of plastic that she pulls out of her bag and is like,
no one notices.
I'm here at the Kumite and you would not believe what's happening now. It's like, thanks, Janice. Thanks for your discretion.
The montage rolls on, right? This is where Dukes meets Gomez.
Is this it? No, there's... All right, so
Other fights.
He fights another... No, Frank specifically fights another guy in a red gi. The fight lasts for like 10 seconds. And again, in all of Frank's fights, they kind of cut to Chong Li, who's just kind of like watching him.
Does he seem nervous to you?
He's always... See, it's maybe the one thing that they kept from the actual, like, Frank Dukes' testimony or his interview, rather, in that black belt thing, is that all the fighters were kind of observing other fighters, that the Kumite was supposed to be like an educational opportunity. And so it's like... But I feel like Chong Li's trying to scope out weaknesses.
He's scouting. But we find out later, I guess, that Frank Dukes is also like... Yeah. Really scouting, paying close attention to what the other guy's got or whatever.
Yeah, so Frank and Chong Li both have matches that are featured for about, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds apiece, and then they're done. Mm-hmm. But then we see him at the beginning of the fight with Gomez.
Yes, Gomez. I don't know what his style is or where he's from. He's like tall, super lean. He's like super cut, chiseled. But yeah, he's like, does the throat slashing motion.
Yeah, he wins this episode's award for best like physical nonverbal acting with the point to Frank, the thumb point back to himself, and then the knife slid across his throat before he like flexes. And then the dude calls the fight. The ref calls the fight to commence. And Frank
kicks him in the face.
One kick in the face. The dude can't stay. He's like, what the fuck?
He's down. He gets up kind of dazed. And then Frank knocks him off the platform.
Two hits and done.
Which I'm just wondering, like, how did Gomez make it this deep?
He didn't fight Frank. I'm trying to think of who else was.
He must have fought Cupcakes, but I don't think we ever saw Gomez before this fight.
No, we never did. So I think Gomez was probably fighting one unnamed silk pajama kung fu guy that we never know. It's like, goodbye. Hello.
I don't know if that counts as a knockout, but that's quicker than any other knockout that we saw. Yeah. I think that was 5 seconds or six.
Yeah, maximum. And then we see the next fight.
We get a couple of featured non-named guys.
Unnamed guys. We get E Honda Inspiration against maybe Dalzim Inspiration with Sumo Guy with Monkey Style Guy.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like Monkey Style Guy is like frustrating Sumo Guy because he can't get a hold of him.
Right.
He's bouncing around. He keeps escaping and like landing these little light blows or whatever until finally, I guess, Sumo gets him in like kind of just a bear hug.
Yeah, he like bear hugs him and like breaks
the
vertebrae.
We hear crunching and cracking. And I don't know if he's supposed to have broken his spine.
The crunching cracking effect is used liberally peppered throughout the Kumite to mean serious bodily injury has happened.
Yeah.
In very few, I think maybe in only one instance, no instances where you hear bone cracking does anyone die. But like, was this loss by Monkey Style Guy a surprise to anyone at Kumite?
I don't know. Anyone? I can't see anyone thinking, oh yeah, Monkey Style Guy, he's a real contender.
No, at all.
Like, he's just a gimmick guy.
I don't know. This whole fight, as soon as those names came up, I would have loved to have been one of the bystanders going,
We talked previously about like a weight differential. This guy's probably got 200 pounds on Monkey Style Guy.
At least that dude is 300 plus pounds.
Yeah.
Monkey Style Guy is like 130.
He's not like the biggest sumo you've ever seen, but he's a big dude. And Monkey Style Guy is probably a buck 30.
Those dudes are huge. They are enormous. Those guys, like the heavyweight guys. And Frank Dukes in real life maintains that there were weight classes at Kumite.
Yeah. Which would make sense.
Which were not observed in the movie at all.
So that's sort of an interesting fight. It's just a couple of featured guys we've seen a lot, or they're very memorable, I guess, just
David
for their style.
And Goliath story, and Goliath kicked David's ass.
Yeah, this time it was all about Goliath, I guess. Goliath.
And so then we see Chong Li's third fight of the day, I guess, which is against Euro Trash Guy.
Yeah, just the dude who we saw in the opening scene
breaking boards with his knees.
Now he's just got the baggiest pants in the history of pants.
Manservant is nowhere to be found. Incidentally,
do you think he had ducked out already once he saw Chun Li pop up? He was like, I'll see you in the car.
I think maybe he couldn't watch. He was too devastated to see the two. He's like, I can't watch this. And why would you? Because Chun Li manhandles that guy, makes quick work of baggy pants.
What's the upside of those pants?
Freedom to move. But also the downside is then you've got material to grab onto.
Yeah, I can't see wearing those pants into battle.
I don't know. They look sort of samurai-ish to me, but...
It was another dude I feel like we never saw fight before this fight in any previous montage.
He was the one that sort of reminds me of, like, in every video game you've ever played that's a fighting game. It's like the rich guy, and he was like practicing on his estate. He's that guy.
He's the rich guy. He's here for sport or whatever, for a hobby.
His family has been around for generations and owns some vineyard and thousands of acres in the south of France.
He's not hungry. Like, he doesn't need this. He's just like, this is a hobby for him.
Exactly.
He's slumming it.
He's Ken in Street Fighter, but he's European.
He's just like Ryu, except he's never going to be able to be better than him.
Exactly.
Now we get to like a super memorable fight. It's sort
of a marquee match for day two at the Kumite, for sure. And that is...
It's got to be the second best fight of the day.
For sure. And that is Frank versus Sumo Guy.
Yep. And it's just like... I feel like Dukes is doing pretty well. He's like elusive. He's kicking him, but he can't seem to hurt the guy.
And pretty early on, like right out of the gate, Sumo Guy reaches over. And this is a pivotal moment for the costuming crew, especially as the Sumo Guy reaches across and grabs Frank's gi and kind of slings him across
him,
the
like
ring.
A little judo throw or whatever.
And Frank's like, fuck this, and removes his shirt.
I feel like every person in the arena's dick got hard.
Yeah, everyone came off. Instant boner in the Kumite.
Because I mean, Van Damme, God love him. He's like shredded up in this flick.
He is in prime.
He was peak Van Damme,
peak Jean Claude.
He went for a high kick, and Sumo Guy grabbed the foot and dragged him. That was split number four.
Split number four
for the flick.
Yeah, we get some Duke's split action.
He just can't seem to hurt the guy.
Yeah, just as it, like Frank is inflicting some damage, but it's not slowing him down, and. Like everything that he does.
He got the bear hug on him.
He gets the bear hug on him, and Frank like headbutts him a couple of times. Yeah. And then it's at that point that he kind of crouches, drops down, and delivers that belly
weird
bat,
like
that
palm of the hand strike to his belly.
And at that point, you kind of feel like the tide's turning, but then all of a sudden, Sumo Guy hulks out unexpectedly.
Yeah, he's like pissed. He does do the full Hulk arms.
Yeah, he's like Lou Ferrigno hulking out.
And, absolutely.
And can you guess what happens next?
I don't. If you've seen the movie, you remember well. If you haven't seen the movie, you would never guess. But like, yeah, Sumo Guy looks enraged. He sort of rushes at Frank, or Jean Claude, busts out another fifth split of the flick, drops down, straight nut punches him.
Now, in real life, Frank Dukes maintains that he would never low blow a guy. He would never cheap
poor
shot
form
a guy.
And no holds barred.
And so he maintains that this punch was, and I quote, to the bladder.
There's no way.
Now, how that's even
you'd have
a
to
thing,
punch up above the dick.
You would have to punch through his whole body. Like your fist would have to go inside of his body.
I feel like if he did punch the bladder, he went through the taint to get there.
No, it was a taint punch. If it wasn't a ball punch, if he didn't get all of both Twig and Barry, it was a taint punch.
It was a proctological examination,
which is. the doctor can see you now.
Dude, he jacked him up with that.
It's one of the stupidest explanations of something that needed no explanation, but
could you imagine just witnessing a fight where someone busted that move out, a split into like a groin punch?
Now, if Chong Li had done that, he would have gotten up and smelled his hand. If Chong Li had pulled the groin punch, he would have gotten up and been like,
what the shit?
Yes, this is, yes.
Smell, yeah, his hand came out of that, like covered in ball sweat.
But then the tide has truly turned as the crowd is on its feet chanting, Dukes, Dukes, Dukes.
Yeah, he sort of just was dazed and he just could push him over.
Yeah.
And it was the knockout. But is the nut punch poor form? Or is anything goes in a fight like this?
I think it's full contact.
You win by any means necessary.
By any means necessary.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, I think that if I remember the black belt article and Frank's interview, he said something about like biting was about the only thing that was like not acceptable.
It was off limits.
Yeah, biting and
hair
weapons.
Pulling or
I think
anything.
If, I think I mean you can pull on clothes.
I mean, if anything, it's it was like kind of dirty for the dude to grab him by the gi. And
I feel it's
drag
like
him.
Football rules now. It's like if it's there, you can grab it. And so
yeah,
not any, there weren't any fighters with long hair, were there? None that I can think. Except
for
Jackson.
There were a few, but they never got like really grabbed.
Except for Jackson.
Speaking of Jackson,
so but we know that as the crowd is chanting Dukes, Chong Li is livid. You can see Chong Li; it's really getting under his skin that the crowd is turning.
He wants to be the people's champ.
And then we come to maybe the last, like the big pivotal point.
We're down to, I guess, maybe the quarterfinals, we're like eight fighters remaining, something yeah. like that.
And we come down to a crucial moment for the story, if you call this a story. A crucial moment in the story's arc. And it is Chong Li versus Ray Jackson.
I feel like Jackson's whole life has been building towards this moment.
It's time to separate the men from the boys.
Yeah. He's like, he's wanted Chong Li since he got there.
Yeah, since he first heard about Kumite, since he first heard about Chong Li, he is like hell bent on adding a Chong Li scar to his face, but kicking the shit out of Chong Li.
I feel like every other fighter probably wants to avoid Chong Li, and like Ray Jackson's like, this is why I came here.
Totally. He's like, no, this is my destiny. I'm here to prove that the US of A belongs in the Kumite.
And granted, he's, what do we think Jackson is? Maybe pushing 300 pounds? 275?
He's 275.
So he's probably got 50 pounds on Chong Li. Then got him outmassed.
Yeah, I would say that Chong Li weighs at least for his height, because he's not a tall guy. Yeah. He probably
220?
Weighs 220, 230 easy.
Yeah, so
he's solid muscle. That he is solid. So this pivotal moment, but just before Jackson goes in, there's some words of advice from Frank, who's been observing.
He's scouting it out.
He's saying, hey, Chong Li is soft in the belly. He's soft in his belly. Worked that midsection.
Did he say, he said Paradise surprised him with a punch to the gut or a kick to
the
gut?
That's how he surprised him. To which Frank says, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, poor Jackson.
You sound like
he's
my
just
mother.
So dumb. Is you he drunk like right
mother.
Now?
He's
Jackson.
Is he awake? Is he awake or asleep? The answer is yes.
Do you think he's drinking beers in the arena while other fights are happening?
If there's does he carry a bag? Like Frank carries a big gym bag with him to the arena.
He's got a keg in there?
Does Ray? Yeah, totally.
A pony keg?
Ray, yeah, Jackson's got a little pony keg. So, yeah, Frank tells Jackson that Chong Li's only weakness is his midsection. And he also says, stay away from his right leg.
His right leg specifically. That's cool.
Because that's his kicking leg, I guess.
I suppose so. They go to fight. I feel like Chong Li lands a couple blows, but Jackson like gets the upper hand quick.
Jackson comes out of the gate strong.
He hits him with like the double axe handle in the head.
To the top of the head. And
he hit him in the leg or something.
Him down.
When he
him
caught
down.
A kick, hit him in the leg and then like smashed him in the face and like dropped double fist on top of his head.
And herein starts the lesson, friends at home.
The downfall.
Never let hubris like take you over. So what is tell our friends at home what Jackson starts doing.
He's chanting. He's like, I did it. I got him, Jackson. He starts trying to start his own chant of his own name.
Never start trying to coax a crowd into chanting your own name.
Yeah, that's just not a good look.
There's a lesson to be learned.
I feel like he screams at Frank, I killed him.
I did it. He
says literally, I killed him.
And Frank says, finish it.
Keep going.
He's like, keep going.
Because he was legit, like, Chong Li was out. Oh, yeah. He was out of it. He could have shoved him with one hand off the platform.
Absolutely.
And that's
it. He was stunned. Chong Li was stunned.
Or he could have done whatever he wanted to him.
So as Jackson's celebrating in that moment, hands uplifted, the crowd going crazy, no one chanting his name, by the way. Everyone very amused that this has happened. Chong Li starts to come to, shakes his head, licks
his
own blood.
Licks his blood, of course. The beautiful ultimate fighting movie move.
And smiles real big before jumping up and kicking Jackson. Right in the,
yeah.
Noah, go ahead.
No, dude, you got it.
I was going to say, kicked him in the fucking throat.
He did. He kicked him right in his throat and dropped him.
Which is exactly what happened
how he
five
killed
years
the guy.
Ago. kicks Jackson in the throat.
Jackson goes down holding his neck.
I mean, it's pretty much, you know, that it's over from there because he can't recover from that.
It's like that universal whatever sign language for choking. He's like got double hands on the throat.
Can I help you? Are you choking? I can help. Do you want me to help you? There's a series of questions that must be answered.
That's when Chong Li, like, yeah, he puts the boots to him.
He's getting ready. He's getting ready to curb stomp him. And Frank in dramatic fashion leans out, stopped by Lee's like, Lin.
Yeah.
Like,
why is Lin holding him back? Because I guess he'd DQ if he jumped in.
He probably DQ'd if you jump in the ring.
Oh man.
But Frank yells stop dramatically, and Chong Li, I mean, stomps on Jackson's head, right?
Yeah, like he stomped his head.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Then removes the bandana and starts taunting.
Yeah, Frank. He took the Hurley bandana off him. He's waving it around. Oh, and my god, wooing. And ooh, the crowd loves it.
Yeah, the crowd is chanting Chong Li, which is mystifying to me at this point. It's like, I don't know. The fact that Jackson wasn't a crowd favorite, but Lin maintains that they're still big fans of Asian.
I can see the crowd not liking Jackson.
He's the brash American.
Yeah, he's a loud mouth. Now, real Frank Dukes, like, so first, Bolo Yeung, bad guy extraordinaire.
Excellent.
I can't picture him ever not being a bad guy. You know what? I watched another horrible fucking karate flick called Shoot Fighter, where he was like the sensei of the good guys. One of the good guys was William Zabka, Johnny from Karate Kid. Yeah. He still had some moves. Those movies are fun to watch, but he was kind of their sensei.
Interesting.
In that, but he's, let's be real, like he was born to play the bad guy.
He was built to play the heel.
He's got the face for it. He's got the body. Like, he can dwarf any other dude.
Yeah. He makes up for. Like small, like height, stature,
yeah,
and just like
mass.
He's like an asteroid.
And like, so the real Frank Dukes, like, just talking about Bolo, says like he was in real life is like the sweetest, nicest guy,
which is not surprising.
Yeah,
he said he like brought his kid to the set every day, and that like when he wasn't on,
he's playing with his son or whatever. Son, yeah, that's awesome.
Good for him. Good for you, Bolo. If you're listening, we love you. We're big fans.
So, but yeah, that's it. I feel like the next thing we go to, they're in the hospital, and like Jackson's in a what appears to be almost a coma state.
He's sort of blinking his eyes and coming in and out of consciousness, but we can assume that he's got at least a broken windpipe and a fractured skull,
and like probably a moderate case of alcohol poisoning. He's like, oh, his liver. He needs a liver. This man needs a liver transplant.
Stat. But yeah, they're like, he'll be okay in a week. Which
I don't know how you put such a tight timetable on it, or any timetable at all.
I don't either. Yeah,
that doctor was some type of producer or something on the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they said.
I like that he tried to defuse the domestic confrontation between Janice and Frank. He's like, if you're gonna fight, get the fuck out of here.
Well, what's weird is, yeah, Dukes is telling the comatose, like, Jackson, don't worry, I'm gonna get revenge for you.
Janice is not having it. Do you think that's what he wants?
Yeah. So Janice has known Dukes for 36 hours, maybe
at most.
And she's like getting involved in his life and his choices, and like, yeah, just whatever fever she caught it hard. Like, she doesn't want to see anything bad happen to him, which I get, but right. Also, they're not in a place where either one should be telling the other what to do.
Well, also, presumably she didn't have sex with Bookie number one, which means that Frank's still her only in.
She's his squeeze. Because, do you think they still went to dinner? No.
No, they went straight to the hospital.
They fought. Yeah, they fought. Do you think they still wound up back in her hotel room?
They banged.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
They bung. I think so. They left Ray at the hospital and went and had sex at the East Lake.
Yeah, they're in the cab on the way to the hospital. They were like hooking up.
Like, Frank needed to be consoled. So, yeah. So they have an altercation in the hallway. They argue about whether...
You know what was weird was the doctor when they started fighting in the room. And the doctor's like, if you're going to argue, go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then she stormed out. And Dukes is like, I'm sorry, the doctor.
Yeah.
It was very polite.
Yeah. Well, he's good mannered. Like I said, he's got good manners. He's got everybody's best intentions in mind.
Yeah. They're fighting tooth and nail in the hallway.
Yeah. He makes him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're breaking it down. She's saying, you're crazy to do this. It's insane what you're doing.
She got what she needs for the story now, right?
Right.
She's seen what it is.
But then we get another weird, not weird entirely, but like a parallel where he's like, why did you choose to be a reporter? And sort of equates it to, she became became a reporter because her dad was a reporter and she wanted to be, mm-hmm. be the best journalist she could. And he's like, I did the same thing so I could be the best fighter for my shidoshi.
To honor my,
like,
yeah.
And she's like, not having it. She's like, okay, that's a bullshit reason.
It is a little bit. Well, I mean,
they're completely different. One's
he's saying like, you don't understand, like, this is the pinnacle for us fighters, right. Like, is to prove we're the best in the world. But it is like at the risk of your own life.
Yeah.
I get both perspectives, I guess. I do just feel like it's a little early in them even knowing each other for her to be.
When you've only got 3 days, everything's got to be fast forwarded.
Yeah, what happens at Kumite stays at Kumite.
Unless Janice is there. So Janice leaves and Victor Lin promptly runs in and says, forget about the girl.
Yeah, you can still like be the first Westerner to win.
Yeah,
I guess he is we consider him a Westerner. I mean, I guess American. Anyone from Europe.
From Europe or North America is a Westerner.
Fair. It is like, forget about the girl, or like, forget about Jackson. Like, just focus on the fighting, which I guess is good advice.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah,
and fair. And then the next thing that we see is Janice Judasing to Inspector Chen and ratting out Frank.
She goes straight to Inspector Chen. She gets right in front of him somehow, and she's like, "I have information about the Kumite and about Frank Dukes,"
which Chen's intrigued by because fucking everyone in Hong Kong is looking for Frank Dukes,
and Chen just wants to get Helmer Rollins off his back.
Off his ass. He's like, okay, this is good information.
So he's like, yeah, can kill two birds with one stone, I guess.
And then, oh man,
the montage.
Yeah, you guys the next montage, but maybe the finest montage of the film.
another Stan Bush number. This song is called On My Own -Alone. Which I feel like is that's redundant.
That's what you are when you're
on your own. Been on my own and not been alone at the
same
time.
Correct. Sometimes you can feel alone.
The song is great. Frank is riding that bus around town.
It could be called On My Own on the bus, on the crosstown bus in Hong Kong.
Yeah. But anytime he closes his eyes, he's like seeing flashbacks of Chong Li stomping out Jackson.
And you see some really intense facial acting from Jean-Claude in this whole sequence, really trying to
emote. Pensive,
angsty, angry, sad, goes back to thoughtful and reflective, and then he's like sort of resigned to the sorrow he's got to feel about. He's got to let Jackson go so he can concentrate, but then he looks in the window,
and there's like he sees Chong Li's smirking face
in the reflection.
Oh, he whips his head around. It's just a sweet old man there.
Oh my god,
dude, that moment's awesome. Side note, roughly whatever 18 years ago, we made a film, John and me.
It was that kind of film, if you want to know.
Yeah,
the boudoir kind of thing.
It was awful. But in the movie, the main character played by John here was doing like a soul searching montage. He pops on his disc, which said, I think, sappy soul searching music or whatever. And we wanted to like snip that scene or snip that clip where he sees Chong Li's reflection and insert it in the middle of the thing. I don't think we did it. I may have to do a director's cut. That's the only difference.
Yeah, that movie was written and directed by Kevin here. And I will say, I feel like we should go back and revisit that. I feel like it's solid gold.
It's probably aged well.
I feel like it would play well in Hollywood. We could be the next Affleck.
The plot is too much to go into right now, but maybe another time. I don't know. But anyway,
we'll have to break that one all the way down.
This is the night before, I guess, the semifinals and the finals.
That's correct. This is day two. Day three is coming up.
Did Duke sleep at all?
I feel like so. We get a shot post bus, and he is standing out on a balcony looking out over
Victoria. It's nighttime, Harbor. Right?
It's nighttime. I have to think that he's gotten some sleep, because I think that even in his distraught frame of mind, that Frank would have the mental discipline to settle himself down and get some sleep.
He should. Like, what would Shidoshi Tanaka say, right? He'd say, I guess, rest.
He'd say, go to sleep. Stupid. And he did. But then the next thing we see is
early morning dawn. and the highest point you can imagine.
Yeah.
He's on a some sort of an altar at a temple, like doing a split. That's split number. Hold on. I got my notes. That's split number six.
Split six.
For the movie. And he's like doing his sort of kata or like meditation.
Kata something. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a great shot. That shot is awesome.
Did you say you think you maybe went up that high above Hong Kong when you were there? Did you do that?
So yeah, there's like a funicular, sort of like a train that goes from
incline
from the
train
of the hill.
Thing.
Yeah, it goes and it goes all the way up, and it goes up to like if you've ever been up to the top of Stone Mountain, it's kind of that deal.
Yeah.
If you've ever ridden the tram up Stone Mountain, and that's in Georgia for those of you who've never been, it's a monument to the Confederacy, and who knows how long it'll be there. The laser show used to be a thing; it still is, I guess, but they might dynamite it one day.
Yeah.
Maybe they should, but that's a different discussion for a different kind of podcast. But
like. The city is spectacular from up there.
You get an incredible view, and it's kind of like they just got a visitor center up there, but you can like tour around and people live up there. You probably have to have crazy money to live up
there. And there's presumably a temple up there where they filmed this.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a temple from where he's doing split meditations, centering himself for the final day of Kumite competition.
Then I feel like it sort of transitions right to he's walking those alleys, the narrow alleys in the walled city.
He's taking his sweet time getting showered up just post lunch, we can imagine.
That was his morning splits.
That's right, morning splits. Morning splits atop.
You can't win Kumite without doing splits for at least an hour.
I know this. The audience at home might not. Okay. So yeah, we get Frank on his way to the final day of Kumite, and he has entered the walled city by himself, which I think is interesting. That Frank is like 2 days in a row.
Do they know him by this point?
I don't know. He walks in. He is greeted with the creepiest motherfucker in the whole movie.
A little short guy. Imagine he's just chuckling. He's got a fucking case of the giggles. Why is he laughing? Because he knows the police are there.
So I'm wondering if like the police came in and they said, "Have you seen a Western guy, an American guy coming through? He looks like this high." Like maybe they described it to him. That dude's probably drunk off his ass.
This dude is just like.
And so then he sees the guy and he's like, "You're about to get fucked up." So,
but so Frank still goes on deeper into the alleys, right?
And then down at the far end of the alley, we see Helmer and Rollins.
Yep. And Inspector Chen.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they're like, let's come with us, come peacefully. And he's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah. He's like,
and then that's when Chen comes out. He's like, all right, we didn't want it to be like this. Like
we brought reinforcements.
Yeah.
And so Frank's like, you're not going to be able to stop me. Chen says something in, I think, Cantonese. It didn't sound like Mandarin.
Instructing his guys.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you get a couple of uniformed police officers jump out.
Now this is the point at which Duke starts like kicking these guys' asses or like hits him with his bag and knocks him down the alley and closes. Like, okay, now you're like beyond just whatever.
You're assaulting a
police
officer.
However illegal Kumite may be, like now you're just straight up beating up police officers.
Right. Which we have to think at this point that
do we like love Frank? Do we think Frank's a good guy? I mean, I guess he's the hero, but
he's the hero of the movie.
These police officers are just doing their job.
That's right. Cops got better things to do than get killed, Kevin.
True enough.
So, yeah, it's a little gray area because does your honor to your shidoshi or your sensei supersede the laws of man?
Probably not.
So like in that sense, it's like I've got to compete in this competition, even if it means killing this guy. Would Frank have killed one of those guys?
I don't know. He was going out of his way to do the least damage, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone knows the damage that can be inflicted without killing someone, it's probably Frank. So he's probably inflicting the least amount of damage. But he was attacking armed police officers who were, like you say, they're just doing their
job. And he works his way all the way down the alley to Chen and Helmer and Rollins.
Who inform him that he's being a real pain. He's being a real hard ass about this and pull out dustbusters to attack
him.
Yeah,
they got the stun guns. They got
their tasers.
Out.
They're tasers.
They're like, all right, we didn't want it to be this way or whatever. And then Frank, all of a sudden, they should know that he's just gaming them because he's like, whoa, guys, be careful.
Right.
And
he whips out a trash can lid
in one fluid motion,
and they fire thinking he's, I guess, pulling a weapon. Who knows?
I have no idea.
And he uses it as a shield to ricochet the barbs from the taser into two other armed
police
officers.
I don't see it working that way. I think they'd hit the trash can lid and drop to the ground.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
But it's a neat effect.
You're not going to get like the good, the good what deflection or ricochet.
No,
absolutely not.
You get two. Instead, you get two cops who are just on like doing their duty, zapped with 50,000 volts.
Yeah, and yeah, two more dudes, innocent guys. Like they're 9 to 5 guys. They probably got wives and kids.
And here's what we don't. Here's another thing that we don't know is Frank is now holding. He whips the tasers. Yeah, he
snatches
out of their
the
hands.
Guns while they're sort of distracted.
So is he threatening then to? Are there more barbs in that thing that he can fire, or is he threatening to zap those guys again?
Oh shit. I didn't think about that. In my mind, it was like, I'll shoot you two, Helmer and Rollins. And they sort of back down.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I don't know how those, I don't know if there's a double trigger like it is on a double barrel shotgun where you've got double action.
You can
shoot one barrel and then the other, or is it, if you approach me, I'm going to zap these cops, because honestly, do Helmer and Rollins fucking care if
probably not. Or not? No. They were using those guys as meat. Bait or whatever. Yeah. Anyway,
exactly.
Operation Human Shield.
They're doing the dirty work. So
now there was a moment here where like Chin goes for his gun from the holster and like Helmer or Rollins sort of stops him and is right. Like, no, we got to have him alive. Like, do you think Chin was going to gun him down? I mean, I think he'd be within his rights.
Absolutely.
He's hurt how many of his officers at
four.
This point?
Four.
Yeah.
He is wounded or seriously hurt.
Could you imagine if he just took the gun out, shot Frank, and it's like the end?
The United States government is not going to be happy about this, Inspector Chen. You'll be hearing from us.
And then it's that moment of like
the Reagan State Department is furious.
Rollins, Forrest Whitaker's like asking, well, what now? What do we do now? And he's like, Helmer's like, come on. They're basically just going to like, oh, all right, we'll go in and watch.
We have no choice but to just go in and watch. And I guess that's pretty much how everyone gets in.
Janice steps out from around a corner, too, and she like seems to give half a shit.
Well, yeah, presumably she's been
the officers.
She's been there to like dime Frank to everybody. Chen, she's there with Chen and with Helmer and Rollins. Like everyone's got.
So
Frank,
you think they just walk right in like they're allowed in? Oh, these, yeah. These Westerners, the Americans?
Well, I think if they're showing up and Chen is there, they have no choice, because I think Kumite doesn't happen unless Chen lets it happen.
We never see Chen again, right? He doesn't go in.
No, I think Chen probably, what happens is that Chen walks with them and he's like, you let these people in, and then he splits. Because okay. Again, he knows Kumite is happening.
Yeah.
He's letting it happen.
True. And he's like, so, I mean, this is basically, we're entering like the final whatever action's about to happen. This is like, it's all been building to this moment. Of course, like there's, I guess, semifinals to go, but we know it's going to be.
Yeah, we know
Dukes versus
Chong Li.
Yeah.
We know who the pieces have been set.
Everything's been building to this moment, and we will get to that in the finale episode of our Bloodsport breakdown.
Guys, one last toast to everyone who's watching a St. Arnold Summer Pills in all of your honor for joining us here on 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, we got a little more awesomeness for you, so come back next time and we will finish off this masterpiece.
We'll be back.